Hey folks, this is John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I used to record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. But I don't drive to work anymore because we don't go to schools anymore. We work at home to try to figure out the best practices of online learning. And distance learning is a big part of our routine and our repertoire. And so today I'll be talking a little bit more about basically just a deep dive into some 101 level conversation about if you've never done an online video chat with your students and your student populations, not just some best practices, but just some kind of rules of the road to help you make sense of it, because it's hard trying to make sense of how to do this new normal, even though we are so late in the school year. Like, oh, well, thank God, it'll just be over this summer. I don't know that that's true. We have to look at what this can look like going forward. As an instructional coach, a big part of my job is paying attention to like best practices and research and where the data is suggesting things are working or not working. So whether you teach littles, middles, high schools, adult learners, there's something about this distance learning that may likely continue. And so we have to figure out how to do it well if we are expected to do it down the road. More on that momentarily, and more on all of this stuff about Zoom and Google Meet and wherever, Skype and web meetings today in a second. But first things first, if you like what you're hearing and want to talk further, I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. So message me, let's dial me up, and we can talk about this or anything else education related. Happy to do it. Also, if you like the podcast and you want to talk further, there are episodes that go way back, like 100 plus episodes. Feel free to head to your favorite podcasting app, like or leave a comment, leave a rating. It helps other people find it, which is awesome. So cool. Yay. And it gives us ideas for other stuff. So message me on Twitter about any of that. And third, I have a website, www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline, like educational adrenaline, spelled with an E, because I'm fired up about education and I want to get classes and kids fired up as well. So hit that up. I have templates and shareables and all sorts of open source things that you can use, modify, whatever it is up in that. Do it. Let's change the game together. Today I want to do some deep diving here into what it looks like in a Zoom classroom online. If you're taking part in a conversation here, you probably use the internet for the internet. You probably use it for social media. You probably have used it, I'm sure, over the past couple weeks for Zoom chats or family chats, just sort of dial in to see a FaceTime of a loved one, which is great. But maybe you've been reluctant to step into the world of online classes. This is that synchronized version of, okay, at 10 o'clock today, everyone dials in and we go, right? And there's a good reason for that, because telling everyone to dial in at 10 o'clock is a disaster. It's not going to work. Synchronized learning is not ideal for a distance learning scenario for a number of reasons. First, students are presented with myriad problems or possibilities or obstacles from home. And so 10 o'clock doesn't necessarily happen for everyone at the same time. Today I had a Zoom chat and had a child giant join that conversation 7 minutes late. And like teacher me in class, if they show up 7 minutes late, you naturally want to know where they were, right? I didn't say anything. And just like in the classroom, there is an appropriate thing. There's an inappropriate thing to do there. And ever to like make a child feel embarrassed or ashamed in front of their peers is the exact wrong thing. So I said nothing in the meeting. But afterwards, the child sent me an email and they said, hey, Mr. Meehan, I'm so sorry I was late today to our Zoom class. We had a family member die and we just got news about that before the class started. Now, I happen to know that this individual kid is the child of one of my colleagues and is like kind of nerdy, really in for school. So when that child shows up late 7 minutes, they're not lying. They're not just making up a dead relative so they can get out of jail free. It was an ungraded activity, and students still felt really, really bad for showing up at a different time. I think this is important. I want to sort of challenge us as educators. When you're looking at your Zoom classes, those synchronized classes are not the best model for a number of reasons, not the least of which is students are dealing with a pandemic, and pandemic means that people are going to be having health issues, safety issues, access issues. So if you can absolutely avoid synchronized learning, I recommend trying to avoid synchronized learning. That said, that's a really bad way to kind of cop out on an episode about distance learning. And because, yeah, that's great in theory, but sometimes we just need to have people in meetings. And yes, we do. So let's talk about when you kind of do get past that, okay, it's not ideal, but if I was to have to do it. Because I think for many of us, that's what's kept us away from the Zoom calls. And I'll be honest, I've had those that have been great, and I have those that have been awful. And they usually kind of fall into the same kind of categories. And in working with other educators and working in coaching, these are the trends that I'm finding for these things. when you have people dialing in for Zoom calls, it helps if you have the ability as a teacher to offer a schedule. Not that it has to be the same schedule every day, but that there is a schedule and perhaps some flexibility or some opportunities for your shareholders to dial in. Now, this is a little harder with younger students because younger students are much more fixed with like, hey, 10 o'clock means 10 o'clock means 10 o'clock. But like I said, every household, 10 o'clock is slightly different, especially if moms or dads, grandmas or grandpas, aunts and uncles are taking care or doing whatever they need to do. You might not have somebody there to dial that kid in at 10. But as you deal with older students, they should be able to sort of manage their own schedules. So if you are setting up schedules, consider the option that they could dial in for the morning session at 10 or at 11, or they could dial in for the same thing at 1 or at 2, or if you feel comfortable with it, at 3 or at 4. If you are able to work with your administration, that's a great hack for time saving in distance learning. Consider the idea of asking if you're allowed to extend your class day or your school day on the south side of where the traditional adjournment would be, dismissal would be. My classes would normally be done at, I think, 2:55 at the end of the day. But most of my students don't even wake up till 11 or 12, like now that they're home. With permission from my admin team, hey, can I go a little later and I'll take conference calls till 4 o'clock? It's still before dinner time, but if I could open myself up for an online class that meets right at 3 o'clock for anybody who's interested or available to join, my students are that much more awake, that much more engaged, that much more inspired, and that could be really, really helpful. So consider for your students, if you have the ability with your admin team or those in your school, setting up the idea of you can meet in the morning and or you can meet in the afternoon. Likewise, consider running the same sessions for 2 or 3 days in a row. So, hey gang, I need you to dial in for one session on either Monday or Tuesday. You can dial in either in the morning or in the afternoon. But over the course of those 2 days, I'll have a total of like 8 different sessions, you know, 45-minute sessions, half-hour sessions, whatever it is. And you, as the presenter, as the teacher, as the font of information, are pretty much just hitting your paces, hitting your marks like you were a theme park ride with the same narration, right? Like, if you look to your left, you see blah, blah, blah. If you look to your right, blah, 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 blah. That's your, in this moment, that's your job, that's your goal. While it's not particularly sexy and it's fun, it's not particularly in what we got into teaching for to sort of hit those marks. That's the traditional lecture model. When you gave that lecture second period, and then those kids left, and you gave it again third period for a brand new group of students. It might be the old hat to you, but for them, it's their first time hearing it. And for us as an education field who might need to do that direct instruction, even if it is just a little bit of direct instruction, giving students bite-sized time to dial in where you are totally okay with, hey, I know this might sound old, might sound frustrating, but it's only old and frustrating to you. They've never heard or seen this thing before. Giving yourself that patience and that grace to say, right, this is brand new information to this kid. And this group of kids has never seen or heard that before. Any live performer would tell you if they run the same Broadway show that though they try to inhabit and imbue themselves into their character more and more as the run goes on, like Wednesday's audience is going to be different than Tuesday's audience, but Wednesday's audience paid just as much as Tuesday's audience did. And so you can't get sloppy or cocky or complacent because every day has to be like the first day. I had a priest friend who told me one time that before he goes and says Mass, he says, priest of God, may you preach today's Mass. And again, they preach Mass every day because that's what priests do, even if it's just for themselves, like one person. They say, priest of God, may you preach this Mass as if it's your first Mass, as if it's your last Mass, and as if it's your only Mass. And I think that's really beautiful. Again, not if you don't have to be Catholic to get the metaphor there. If it's your first day, you bring an excitement to it. You bring a joy. You bring a wonder. And maybe a little bit of fear, you know, because it's an awe-inspiring thing. You want to do it the right way. If it's your last one, you want to ensure you get it right. So you leave on a good note. You leave them, you know, on a high. You've proven that you've earned it, that you've been the pro, that you've executed the right way. And if it's your only one, hey, if you get one shot at this in the whole wide world, nothing is guaranteed. Like, how would you like to leave your mark, leave your legacy? That doesn't mean that every online class we're going to teach is going to be our first class or our last class or our only class. But if we bring that reverence of that respect to what we're going to do, how much more seriously will we take it? And it's not because we take ourselves too seriously, but because we take this job seriously and we want to make sure we do it right. That's a good thing for all of our learners. So looking at the idea of bringing a fresh self, giving yourself time even between sessions to say, hey, I'm going to do a half hour session from 9 till 9:30. I'll make the next session not at 9:30, but I'll make it at 10. That's another great tip I have for people who are doing distance learning. If you have the time in your day, in your schedule, consider making your classes, let's say 30 or 45 minutes, but the session blocks for those classes 45 minutes to an hour, which allows you the digital equivalent of that kid who just needs to stay after the bell for 2-3 minutes to ask you a clarifying question. Can be really, really helpful. I can tell you that today I had a conversation with some students, about 6 or 7 students who dialed in, and it was about a challenging story about race. And we had a bunch of students from a bunch of different backgrounds and a bunch of different experiences to talk. And then when we adjourned formally, there were still 2 students who just wanted to talk a little bit more about the story. And we wound up giving another hour of conversation where I, as a white male teacher, had a conversation with a students of color, one who's male and one who's female, talking about their experience as students of color in a story that is dealing with race, how they feel like they're being looked at funny by their classmates. Like, well, what do you have to say on behalf of students who look or sound like you? And then we had further conversations about how it was difficult for many of these students to feel comfortable or not comfortable expressing themselves or letting people into their homes when this distance learning is pretty much demanding all of that stuff. That talks about equity issues and access issues and safety issues, and that's huge. Just because you have that great book nook or that corner of your house, which is perfect for Zoom calls, doesn't mean that every student who's taking these calls has that same access. So as you're doing video chats, being empathetic to that, if a child wants to dial in and keep their screen on mute, don't presume that it's because they don't want to pay attention. It could be because they don't have a place in their house that they feel comfortable, safe, or supported to just give dedicated time to you or to their class conversation. And that's hard, and that's very, very humbling. But when you talk about privilege, video puts us right into someone's house. There's a real vulnerability with that. And so you have to be flexible, you have to be kind, and you have to be empathetic. Just like I said with that first student who showed up late, right? Your answer when a child shows up too late in class is always, hey, I'm really glad you're here. You'll worry about the rest of it later. Always making sure that you lead with that empathy, leading with that moment to say, hey, I appreciate you. Thanks for showing up. Today's going to be fundamentally different because you did show up. Likewise, if you can have the ability and you're doing online classes, again, it's not an ideal thing to have the large group settings ever. But if you have to do a one-size-fits-all lecture online, consider multiple sessions that are smaller sessions. So instead of 5 classes a day of 30 kids apiece, maybe do 15 classes a day of 4 or 5 kids apiece. And I know that sounds crazy, but if you can keep the conversations that much shorter, you can read off of the people in the room and say, hey, is this making sense? And maybe they're done in 15 minutes or 8 minutes, and you don't have to keep them for a whole half hour. Traditional schools were set up for a very different time, but that's arbitrary. Television programs happen to run 20 minutes or 30 minutes, but once you go to that Netflix model, sometimes the episodes run 23 minutes, other times they run 46. There's different stories that need to be told in different amounts of times. Don't make yourself so obligated to replicating that bell schedule. Give yourself that flexibility and that grace to spend as long as you need to, and then get out. Really helpful. And then my final tip with the Zoom calls is, if you're doing Zoom or if you're doing Google or any other fancy paid software, there are a ton of really good built-in techie features that you should familiarize yourself with before you dial in. Things like a green screen background, or things like the ability to record everything and have it posted up online afterwards, or a chat feature, or the ability to screen share. Each of these things can be used to varying degrees of success, but if you don't actually know what you're doing and you're supposed to be running that show, you can very quickly find yourself overwhelmed and miss out on some of the really cool features and functionality that the tech can afford you new avenues for learning. Even on a Zoom, for example, something as simple as being able to send students into breakout rooms or breakout groups. You have one large group, but then they break out into 4 or 5 small groups. Hey, that's kind of cool. I would do that in class, right? If you can work that into your online session, that's a tool to have in your belt, or, you know, a resource to have in your arsenal, so you could be that better version of self. But that said, just because it exists doesn't mean you have to use it. It still is just a tool. And in the hands of the right carpenter, the right tool can be successful. In the hands of the wrong carpenter, the tool can be a mess. So I encourage you again to take a look for yourself. And again, I know for many of us, this is recappy, this is obvious, okay, fine. But like Zoom 101, video 101, maybe that was the thing that scared you away from entering it in the first place. If video conferencing is a part of our classes, if something involving synchronized learning is your new reality, either in the month of May or going forward into the fall. We definitely want to keep our students safe and supported. So just a few of these like basic things to keep in mind, in addition to the more nitty-gritty granular stuff, will ultimately make it a little bit more palatable, a little bit safer, and certainly a lot more efficient and a lot more effective for all parties involved. So I hope that makes sense. Thanks for tuning in today. Every day, brand new podcast, Monday through Friday. We used to do weeklies when I was in the car. Now we do dailies when I'm in the house. And our goal is to keep you safe and supported with anything related to teaching and distance learning basics. This is just one of them. So we're here. Stay safe, stay healthy. Message me. Let's talk further. And I'll see you back here tomorrow. Thanks again.